the idea of the kingdom of God coming. And of course, we often want to enjoy all the benefits of what it's like to be in the kingdom, but don't you know that when you belong to Christ, things don't always go your way? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They don't always go your way, and it's not like all opposition is gone. In fact, it seems to increase in some components. As you commit yourself deeply with Christ, you're going to stand in opposition to something. And that opposition is a very real dominion, and it's a spiritual force. Some would say, well, that's all just hooky-pooky mystery stuff. But I'm telling you, it's the reality of who we are as created people who were created spirit, and God placed us in these fleshly vessels. Thy kingdom come. In Matthew 12:28, this is what it says, but if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon me. That's what Christ was declaring. He was walking among his people, and he was trying to define to his own followers that the kingdom of God was standing right in front of them. They were waiting for it to come. They were waiting for something else to happen other than the one who was creator right there in front of them. I've asked the Lord to just continue to explode this in my spirit, and so much so that it's difficult for me to place it into words what it is that I know that the Lord wants to accomplish in me and in this church body as well. And I don't know what it's going to look like in terms of weeks to come, in terms of sermon structure, but I know that this is one of those elements that we need to be very aware of. And what is it that, why did his kingdom come? What is it that Christ is trying to do in us? It isn't about us just trying to be good people until the time we leave this flesh, and then we can participate in some glorious heaven experience, celestial heaven. The church talks a lot about heaven, rightfully so. Rightfully so. But you know heaven is heaven because God is there. That's the deal. Hell is hell, and hell is real, but hell is hell because God is not there. Hell is the experience of the absolute absence of God, which no one on earth has ever experienced. Even the worst of sinners right now gets to experience the rising of the sun and the going down of the same. Even the worst of sinners gets to experience the rain and the seasons and being able to live life on planet Earth and breathe and in some cases even enjoy the creation of God. So why did God come? Why? What is the nature of his kingdom? What you need to understand is God coming into the world was to assert his power, his glory, and his righteousness, and it was to stand in direct opposition of Satan's domain. Satan had dominion. Was Satan supposed to have dominion? Have you been listening to the sermons? Who was supposed to have dominion? Right. We were not supposed to be the vessels of chaos. And he, Satan, was not supposed to be the Lord and the dominion of earth. That was not God's plan. So we had a kingdom that was created. I spent a little bit of time in the first few chapters of Genesis. But what we're talking about in this glorious creation, I always call him a genius God because I'm so overwhelmed by his absolute brilliance. And that, in fact, is an understatement for sure. But what happened was the extension of God's genius And why did he send him? Why did he come to this world of chaos and create humanity right in the middle of it? It doesn't make a lot of sense to us, but I keep telling you that it was an expression of himself. It was an expression of his love. That's who he is. He is love, and what he wanted to do was extend himself to planet Earth. I don't know why. There's many questions that go through our minds, even as we do a study of how vast the universe is and how its vastness makes us feel so small. And in some cases, insignificant. If you don't have the Spirit of God moving inside of you, you will just evaporate to nothing. But as the Spirit moves inside of you, you get that sense of plan and purpose that God had for every single one of us. Man was created because that's what love does. Love gives of itself. And that was God's expression. Adam and Eve were God's expression. Adam and Eve were God's design. Adam and Eve were God's plan for what he wanted to do with planet Earth. God was not confused, nor was he surprised by the fall. Did you know that? Is it possible that even as God was breathing life into Adam and Adam, that he knew that Adam was going to reject him? Is it possible? No, it's absolute truth. The Bible tells us that the redemption of Christ was established before the foundations of the earth. God was fully prepared to rescue mankind even before mankind rejected him. What an amazing God. Again, it helps us to understand what it was he wanted to accomplish in the first place. Several weeks back, I used the term to colonize. What you do is you take people from a kingdom, you take the spirit of that kingdom, you take all the philosophies of that kingdom, and you transfer them to a totally different place. But as they go to a different place, they would go as representatives of the kingdom that they came from, and they stand under that rulership. And that's what I'm suggesting to you as you read in the book of Genesis and you watch how God had a plan. He had a plan, and I'm just using the term colonize to help us to understand what it was that what God was trying to do. He was trying to transfer himself into the world of chaos through Adam and Eve, that they would walk in the power of his presence and the glory of his might, that he would be represented here on earth. I know that for those of you who are thinkers and studiers, you're way ahead in this. You think about what God has done over these thousands of years and how he's kept himself as a representative here on planet Earth. Formless and void, and yet he showed up anyways. I think how it kind of has a description of my life. How when he found me, that's exactly how I was formless and void. And yet the Holy Spirit hovered over me and brought life in abundance back into this man. But in his image, he created him, male and female, he created them. He said, "Let us make man in our image." And then he declared that man would have dominion over the things of the earth. I realize that this seems like much of this is just a review, but you have to understand that I know so deeply that this body of people need to get what it is that I am sharing with you. Let me read something to you. I'm hoping I can find it here. He replied, "The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you." This, by the way, I'm reading out of Matthew 13, but remember the parable of the sower? Remember the parable of the sower where he throws out the seed and some might fall on rocky soil and some on good soil? Okay, that's where I'm at. But listen, I want you to hear what he says. And this is out of the words of Christ. He replied, "The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you." Now listen, "but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundant. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fullness the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving." I'm going to read down just a little farther. "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Now I want you, again, please listen close to these words. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart." There is a message that is being preached to you about the kingdom of God. And it will find itself falling on a type of soil. Some might be rocky. Other might be filled with thorns. Some on fertile ground. But that is going to be up to you as to what that looks like. So a kingdom that was gained as the declaration of God is saying to Adam, "I want you to have dominion." He talks about the animals. He talks about the seed-bearing plants. He talks about all those things. And like I've said several times, you make note that God never intended for Adam and Eve to have dominion over one another. It was never his plan. You're familiar with the fact that this kingdom that God intended was lost by the act and the will of Adam. The Bible defines it as Adam's sin because Adam was the one that was given the promise. Adam was the one who was given the command. So Adam, the first royal representative of heaven's kingdom here on earth. And what does he do? He commits an act of treason. That's what this whole thing is about. He stands in opposition of the very God that set him up. Again, if you'll let me use the word, to colonize that area that he was, I believe it was the whole earth was his plan. To colonize planet earth with the righteousness and the glory of God. That he would be our God and we would be his people. So in that act of treason, something was lost. You say a separation took place. Absolutely a separation took place. And in that separation, the legal right to represent heaven on earth was lost. It was gone. Adam and Eve no longer had the right to stand as those who were representatives of God's kingdom, and they no longer had the right to have dominion over those things around them. In fact, you will see that at the fall, there was a shift that happened, and the things around them started having dominion over them. Instead, even work itself changed, didn't it? Whereas before, work itself was a labor of love and it was a labor of joy. But after the separation, after the fall, after the act of treason, guess what happened? Work itself stood in opposition to Adam, didn't it? It's tragic to think about it. And to this day, we still experience the ramifications of what that looks like. So, a loss of that legal right. Gain, position, disposition, loss, responsibility, shame, self-consciousness. These are the things that were gained by Adam's treason. A loss of position, a loss of disposition, a loss of responsibility, a gain of shame. Self-consciousness became the consuming element of who he was. He was only consumed about what this was and was not in pursuit. Fear became something new that mankind was feeling. Frustration and labor, pain was in there, now part of their idea, the discomfort and the need for human accountability. Dominion was gone, and because dominion was gone, control and power of their very self was absent as well. They no longer had that. And last week I began to talk to you about God's response to all of this. What do you think, God? How should he have responded to this act of treason? Of course, I told you already the end of the story. You already know it. God already had a Redeemer set up. But what's important to the church today is you understand how God sent himself to earth. There was a promise of a king that was coming. Don't you believe that God in his throne, in all of his majesty, he could have had heaven come down and hover above the earth so that all of mankind could see who he really was. And he could force us all just to bow down to him. And yet he did not do that. This brilliant God, instead of doing something like that, he had a grander purpose. And that was he wanted the heart of every one of his created children. He wanted them to worship him not because they were forced to, but because they wanted to. And so instead of presenting himself as this majestic God coming down in the throne, he sends himself in the form of human flesh, the very flesh that lost dominion. Interesting, huh? Doesn't it help you to understand how faithful God is and how true he is even to himself? You see, God set up in the beginning that the way that he would work on planet Earth was through the flesh. That's what his will was. That's what his design was. That is what his purpose was. The promise of a king through human flesh. And God came looking for man. What a spectacular thing it is to think about. And anybody who walks in Christ, you know exactly what that meant. He came and found you, didn't he? And if you've never accepted Christ, you keep feeling the knock on your spirit. You keep feeling it. If you're in this congregation right now and you walk in willful sin and you have heard this word, you are a miserable person right now. You might be able to appease yourself with activities in this life, but it's not enough. Why? Because the night time comes. And those who walk in willful sin, You know the truth, there is no more miserable place on planet Earth. Because you know the truth and you still walk in opposition. And even in this place, you can hear, you can feel the knock of the Spirit of God upon your heart. And you will make a choice. Even right now, you make a choice. Sometimes it's just a simple act of treason, just like Adam did. And you say, I'm not interested. I'll do it myself. The invitation now was for us to be restored. Created children, God's family. Not servants or subjects of a religious organization, but God wanted us to be his children. How powerful is that? Ruling the visible world from an invisible realm. What does that look like? Let me read something to you. It's just kind of fun, okay? In his book, Discovering the Kingdom, Miles Monroe, this is out of one of his chapters here. He said, God's original purpose and intent was to rule that which is seen, speaking of the visible world, through that which is unseen, the invisible world. He would do this through the unseen, that is, the Spirit of God in man, living in the unseen, the spirit of man, and living in the seen, which is the physical body, on the seen, which is earth. How fun is that? I want to read it again just because you're so confused, and I want to make you double confused, all right? God's original purpose and intent was to rule that which is seen, the visible world, through that which is unseen, the invisible world. He would do this through the unseen, the Spirit of God in man, living in the unseen spirit of man, and live in the seen, the physical body, on the seen, the earth. You got that now? Okay, I'm going to pass out a piece of paper and you're going to write that down, all right? See how many of you remember any of it. Listen, this is not a foreign concept. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Being understood through what has been made so that they, or man, is without excuse. Wow. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. I want you to understand, right in the middle of him talking about rulers and dominions, he puts in this, both in the heavens on earth, visible and invisible. He's talking about rulers and dominions, and he's talking about that which is visible and that which is invisible simultaneously. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. See, not a new concept. Not a new concept. Psalms 115, verses 15 through 16, it says, may you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Listen, the highest heavens belong to the earth, to the Lord. Got it? The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. You ever heard that before? Interesting, huh? Does that mean that God no longer has dominion on earth? Obviously, God can do what God wants to do. I'm talking to you about his heart and his plan and his purpose. This does not make little gods out of humanity at all. We have to understand what it is that has been lost. And I realize that we can look at this at a grandiose scale, and we can look at the condition of planet earth and say, wait, I see the cause and effect of humanity walking away from God. I want you to bring this down to a personal world. Because from the beginning, I've been talking to you about a reclaiming of that dominion that you have with your own life, in your own circumstances, in your own condition. God wants his people to have plan and purpose. He wants us to live with a sense of power and authority within our lives. You see what happened after the redemption of Christ. Brian was talking about it in cross-training class this morning. He was talking about what happened to the disciples as the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they were walking around doing miracles. But finally, these men had control over their lives. But it was because of the Holy Spirit in them. And then people were coming up to them and began to praise them. Peter and John at the healing of the lame man. And they said to him, "Do not look at us as if by our own power we have done these things." There was an authority within their lives that was not there prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We were all created to have dominion. I am not talking about dominance. They are two totally different issues. Dominance is to desire to take authority over top of something or someone. That is not the kingdom of God at all. In fact, Jesus said to his own disciples, "He who wants to be great among you must be servants of all." What a contrast. What a different thinking. What a different kingdom. Look at how Jesus Christ himself lived on planet Earth. He came in the most humblest form, in the form of a human child, which is the epitome of weakness. A little deer born in the woods has better survival techniques than a human child. Yes? And that is the form that God came. In the form of human flesh and in the absolute weakest form. But as he walked through life for those 33 years that he was here walking on planet Earth, he walked in this amazing contrast. Because to all of human eyes, he was weak. But to all of those who seen in the Spirit, he was the creator of heaven and earth. To those who had scales over their eyes, he was confused. To those who could see, they watched him have dominion over the waters, over the flame, over planet Earth, over the human body, over demonic presence. They watched him take authority. And yes, we will say as the church, "But that's Jesus Christ." I know. Why do you think he said to his disciples, "I have to go to the Father. I have to leave earth. If I do not leave earth, then you will not become my body." Do you get it? What about the scripture where Jesus told his disciples, "Greater things will ye do"? Huh? Does that mean that we're greater than Christ? No. It means that Christ is multiplied million times over. Millions of times over. And again, I just love the fascination. I think about this all the time. The fascination of the body of Christ is just a magnificent thing. And what I find is every time we try to organize the body in its body of Christ, then it's almost like it tips our hand to the enemy. He comes in to that point, creates confusion, church splits happen. And you say, "Pastor Dan, isn't that what we're doing here? Isn't that what we're doing here? We're organizing here. The enemy knows where we're at." I didn't say he can't know where you're at. I'm saying, but when we say amen and we leave these doors, guess what happens? The mystery of his body begins to happen. Where the enemy cannot keep track of us. Yeah? The enemy cannot keep track of us. He cannot. Why? Because the Spirit works in our spirit. The Spirit works through us. And while you're doing one thing in somebody's life, somebody else is coming from another area doing something else. The enemy does not have the attributes of a God. He is not sovereign. He is not all-powerful. He is not all-knowing. He is not all-present. It does not mean that he is not powerful. I'm going to read Psalms 115 again. And I'm going to add verse 4 to it. I'm sorry, I might have. Oh, yeah, verse 14, not verse 4. It says, may the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth has been given to men. Let me tell you, that's why I want my children living for Christ. That's why I want my grandchildren living for Christ. It's a restoration of a dominion and a presence that God has created us for in the first place. Listen to me, every single one of you, within the sound of my voice. You will never be happy until you walk in the fullness of who God created you to be in the first place. And it's not by the performance of human condition. It's by the offering of our lives to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Born to live in a different kingdom. Blessing, power, and dominion is what's been offered to me in the way that I live my life. Not in human arrogance, walking around boastfully as one who thinks they have achieved something. Anything that is good in my life is because Christ is in it. Anything that Christ is not in it, no matter how righteous it looks, it is as filthy rags. Do you get what I'm saying here? But that does not give me the position as a son of God to start walking in that dominion. Augustine, an early church father, once wrote, without God, we cannot. Right? You say we cannot do what? That's not the point. The point is, without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. You believe that? I didn't say, without us, God cannot. I said, without us, God will not. It is His design. His design is to work through the church. He set up dominion of humanity in the beginning. Dominion was lost and then regained through Jesus Christ. Yes? Are you guys tracking with me, or am I going to preach this sermon 100 times for the next 6 months? You got to get this. Because I love the fact that I am seeing, sadly, contrast, but I love the fact that I am seeing the power of the kingdom working in this body. I love the fact that I'm watching the power of God work in business. And the blessing of God coming in lives and business. I'm looking around and I see business. I love the fact that I'm seeing the power of God working in politics. You say, huh? The Spirit of God doesn't work in politics. Of course, He created it. The problem is we've lost dominion. We've given it over. But that's okay. Why is it okay? Because God has His people out there taking authority back. Right? I love the fact that we have moms that are standing in opposition to darkness against the enemy taking over the hearts of their own children. And we got moms that are warriors that stand in that opposition, in an intercessory prayer over top of the children that God has blessed them with. I love to see some of you who go out day after day. You go out and you bring provision for your home by working a job. Well, let me give you a secret here. Secret. Did you know that God has never sent us out to work just for the sake of provision for our family? In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Seek me first, my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you as well." God wants to be your provider. That's the point. So he must have another plan for you going out into the world. Yes, it's to make me miserable because of that boss that I have. How many times has the spirit of discontentment swept itself and grabbed a hold of our hearts? Because we think that we're only there to bring in a paycheck. No, 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 no. You are there to be a light in darkness. You are there to stand in opposition to darkness. You are there to have dominion over your own life and your own calling. You are there to walk in the power of the Spirit of God so that something can happen in that place. Brian, you said it again in Sunday school, because I've said this, I feel like, 1,000 times. But you phrased it like this. What I've been saying is, be room changers. That's how he said it. Because I've been saying to you guys, start expecting the room to change when you show up. Here's the deal. Let me qualify something. Did you know that the room can change when you show up, but that could not be a good thing? Did you know that everybody brings joy, some when they come and some when they leave? So in some cases, some people bring joy when they leave, not when they show up. Which are you supposed to be? I'll let you figure that one out. Why do we have this power? The only way we can have dominion over our own lives is because of the infilling and the power of the Spirit of God in us. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. I feel like the Lord just gave me a simple little illustration that helps me, okay? And I need a volunteer to just come up here for a minute. Brian, if you just stand and face that way, right there. I want you to relax. Brian, do you trust me? Okay, I'm just going to ask you to just begin to walk, okay? And I'm going to walk with you, all right? You see how easy that was for me? You know why it was easy for me? Go ahead and sit down. I had one person who responded to the invitation out of this entire room. I said, could I have a volunteer? One person responded quickly. The rest of you sat there and analyzed it and tried to figure out, what is he up to this time? Listen, I'm telling you, such is the kingdom of heaven. I've been telling you, and preachers have been saying, that God has given an invitation, yet people are not coming. We are not coming. And the only thing I was looking for was a simple obedience. I asked him a simple question. I said, come and just stand. And he was waiting for the next instruction. I asked him a simple question. Do you trust me? His response was yes. And so what did he do in that trust? He offered himself to me. Did you see it happen? I never once felt a sense of resistance the entire time that I walked with him. And what I did was I led him to a person. How easy is Christianity? See, I didn't work against his will, did I? I worked in the simple surrender of a heart that was willing to be used. How easy is Christianity? And yet I suggest to you again that most of the church today is walking in that same spirit of complacency. I realize in this application, I probably wouldn't have responded either, because I would have feared what I was about to do. Where have we offered control or dominion back to our enemy and not reclaimed it again in the Spirit of God? Daniel, worship team, come on up. Listen, I know that normally we have this time of worship. Let me tell you, I stopped my sermon early for you. For those of you who have this inner biological clock, and when we get to 12:30, you start to break out in hives, you still have 12 minutes to get it right before the Lord. But let me tell you, folks, in all sincerity, I talked to you about this contrast that pastorally I see in our own church. And that is, I get the privilege of watching the power of God work in people's lives at so many different levels. The other side of the coin, though, is I also get the opportunity to see the tragedy of those who refuse to walk in what God has offered to us. And there is nothing that grieves my spirit more than that. Anybody who's a parent, you know what it feels like when you have such deep desires for your own children, and yet at times you see them walk away from that very existence or that calling that they have. And I want to just say, will you wake up? Will you listen to what I'm telling you? You are to have dominion over all of these things in your life. Let me talk to you about the mind just real quickly. You are not supposed to be out of your mind. The Bible says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What is that? Having dominion over our own mind. Whatever things are good, whatever things are pure, what is that? It's about having dominion over our own minds. Stop using the enemy as an excuse why you walk in a continued state of sin. It's wrong. If it's wrong and the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction to you, it's because He has made a way of escape. But instead of walking out the door, you're trying to go through the wall. And when your head is all bloody, you stand there and go, God, I can't do this anymore. And He's saying, I never invited you to do it in the first place. Use the door, child. You say, I know, that's funny when people do that. Anybody out there ever done what I'm describing to you? Come on, you liars. Boof, 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 boof. Oh God, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Boof, boof, boof. We can laugh, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Here I am. God has got an invitation to His people to start walking in the dominion that He has offered us through Christ. We can experience the closeness that Adam and Eve had with God. We can experience it again, right here. Let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us that authority, Lord, to live these lives that will help this captive to be set free. You are all missionaries of this powerful message. All of you. No matter where you go or what direction life might take you, you are supposed to be the light of the world. And that's why in the beginning of this sermon, at the beginning of this service, I asked you, are you walking in the kingdom or not? It's your choice.